Welcome to Taking Notes, the Lotus Notes and Domino podcast. Here are your hosts, Bruce Elgort and Julian Robichaud.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 20 of the Taking Notes podcast. Today is Thursday, May 18th, and earlier this evening, Bruce and I had a chance to talk to Andrew Pollack, longtime Notes Domino developer, president of Northern Collaborative Technologies, and all-around technology pundit. So, without further ado, let's listen to what Andrew has to say about Hanover, the workplace managed client, and the bright future of Lotus Notes. Take it away. Hello, everybody. This is Julian Robichaud, Bruce Elgort, and Andrew Pollack, and we're doing a podcast. Andrew, let's start with a little history. How long have you been working with Lotus products, and what do you do now?
Oh, I started working with Lotus Notes and Domino long before there was a Domino. I was a version 2 beta tester.
Version 2.
I was certified as an admin and a developer in version 2. I remember being introduced to the new DB lookup and DB column features, the advent of Lotus Script being added in, and can take it right on through up. So
wow.
Go back a little way with it.
And what platform would you have run Notes version 2 on?
Well, there really weren't a lot of choices. Version 2 was, you know, Windows 3.1, and the back end, of course, was OS 2. There was a client also, obviously, you know, on OS 2. For a brief period of time in the version 3, there was even a Solaris client and Solaris server. There was there was the Mac client in version 3 running on AppleTalk. I remember doing a lot of multi-stack installations in the version 3 world where you had, you know, NetBIOS, NetBUI, and Novell, and Banyan Vines, and AppleTalk, and IPX all running on the same servers.
Now, did you ever use a TRS-80 client?
No, I did own it. I must admit, I did write code for the TRS-80, but no, it wasn't Notes code or Lotus code.
Ah, shucks. All right, and now, obviously, you're probably up to maybe version 4 or 4.5.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm running 7.01. Here in this environment, anyway. Although, you know, most of my development these days is done, you know, around it as much as in it. It's kind of funny that way.
Okay. And Northern Collaborative Technologies, that's your company, right?
That's right. I started it. It originally was called the North Work Group Consulting, and I started it in 1993. I took a year-long hiatus from that in 1999 to work with Richard at eVelocity. I think they hired me as an e-business architect, basically to help them scale up. I did some work with a major firm for a while as you'd call it a principal consultant, and sort of ran a small notes practice within a very large organization. And we all kind of know how those kinds of things go.
Mm-hmm.
I much more enjoyed doing my own thing here. It allows me to do a lot of other things as well. Notes is also not my only career development. I'm also a volunteer firefighter. I'm a lieutenant in the fire department. And that becomes a very big part of my life.
And you also maintain a weblog, is that correct?
Yeah, I do a weblog. I'm not sure I could call it maintaining one, but I do every once in a while pay it a little bit of attention. It's a little different from, I think, most of the ones I see out there, in that it's entirely random. It's whatever I feel like saying on any topic. And only sometimes is it about notes. So, you know, some people really enjoy it. I'm sure other people are really tired of hearing about firefighting things or my daughter's soccer.
As long as the firefighting isn't tied to Lotus Notes, I guess that's a good thing.
The firefighting is now entirely tied to Lotus Notes.
Oh,
that's
no.
A very big project that I've been working on, and a project you'll be hearing a lot about shortly called Second Signal.
Oh, excellent. I actually meant not firefighting notes issues, but...
No, we don't do those. We plan. Actually plan and project manage.
All right.
Now, and I think one of the reasons we wanted to get you on here is that you tend to really be involved with a lot of other technologies. I know you asterisk in a lot of .NET things, and you're kind of a technology pundit, I'm going to say. So to kind of touch on your punditude, one of the things that I know you tend to try to involve yourself with it seems like you have some good contacts within IBM itself, and I know that you've spoken about being involved with some previews and briefings about some of the new technologies that are coming out, some of the IBM Workplace Rich Client or manage client, I guess, technology for the last year or so. Now, we know you have some NDAs that you probably had to sign or agree to. What can you tell us about some things you've seen over the last year where the workplace managed client is going and kind of coming into play and what we can do with it?
Well, most of the things that were the most secret are now pretty much public knowledge. You know, it's been interesting because you get involved with these things very, very deeply, and I was involved early on in the Workplace Rich Client. I actually did the first non-IBM presentation about Workplace Rich Client, and it was, gosh, 3 years ago maybe now in London. And I actually had to walk the slides through, you know, and bring them down to Westford, and we went through them with them and I gave them veto power. I wasn't going to talk about anything that was under NDA without them actually looking at the slides first. And I actually had one of the most difficult presentations I've ever given because I had not actually gotten to touch the thing yet, only to look at it and see it in a room. And when I went to present this presentation the first time, sitting in the front row was Bill Hume. so that was kind of a challenge because I suspected that if I got anything just terribly wrong, he probably would have stood up and corrected me. The evolution of the thing has been fascinating because it goes hand in hand with the sort of reemergence of Domino and Notes within IBM as a favorable product, and it's been just a fun ride to watch it come back. I'm one of those people who's been, you know, screaming about the emperor being naked for a long time when it came to WebSphere and Portal. Particularly, I'm not a big fan of those technologies, not because they're not well done, but because the cost of implementation is so high that they can really only be applied to those projects where there's that much value. And, you know, seeing the Notes stuff come back, it's clear that you're going to see just huge, exciting things. Hanover is just a huge, huge advance for us in the Notes world from a developer's perspective, from an end client perspective, but almost from a respect within IBM perspective. It's just brilliant stuff.
So how do you think, I mean, I've been following what you've been writing and we've spoken before. I mean, what do you think went off inside IBM that went from workplace managed client to what we're seeing now being called Hanover?
Well, you have to understand that IBM, when you think about IBM, you can't just think of it as a company. IBM has an economy that's, I think, larger than California's now. It's one of the largest economies in the world internally.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to think about they have an internal politics and an internal process set that's just massive on a governmental scale.
Mm.
So when you watch IBM, you kind of have to think in those terms. You know, the evolution of workplace is fascinating. Because nothing can fail, nothing ever fails at IBM, right? I mean, think about anything that you've ever seen. Nobody's ever come out and said, well, that's failed. Instead, it sort of gets name changed and migrated, and something sort of all get joined together. And the evolution in this case has been, you know, Gartner and IDC and all these other companies, IDG, they came out with these fabulous numbers, right, several years back that said it was all going to be about J2EE platforms, and there were billions and billions of dollars to be made in that space, and IBM is poised to make them. Well, that was the end of, as far as IBM was concerned internally, you know, nobody wanted to talk about Domino anymore. It was all WebSphere, right? It was almost like it was almost like Tourette's syndrome. You just couldn't get through a room without hearing the word WebSphere. But ultimately, not enough of it was sold. It never, that whole market never materialized the way it was predicted. You know, and those of us that were screaming from the aisles all along was, this is a commodity world, and you can't compete in a commodity world. Ultimately, it either has to be decommoditized in order to differentiate your product, or you have to compete only on price, and neither of those things is acceptable. So now we've got this great tool for transactions, but most things, right, aren't transactions. Most of what you're trying to do in your work leads up to the transaction.
Right.
And tools like pure Java implementations of pure WebSphere, pure J2E implementations, you can build a gorgeous sandcastle with that, but you're building it one grain at a time. And that just is too expensive and too difficult to maintain. It's good when you need that level of detail. So now you've got to look at...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, so now you've got to sell this thing. So what do you do? Well, all right. That's too detailed. So we're going to make this environment where we'll pre-make the parts of sandcastles, and you'll just plug them together. And you'll make your apps out of those. And we'll call that Portal, and those will be portlets. So that didn't sell real well because those little portlets didn't talk to each other well, and they didn't do anything. None of them were complex enough to be of any value to anybody. And, you know, Portal does neat, neat things. Here's what happens every time I've showed it to a customer. Wow, that's really cool. Look at all those portlets. They're talking everything. It's all on the same screen. How much does it cost? Oh, I think we could do this with a page with some links and maybe some iframes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and nobody wants to jump into that kind of money for that value. So now how do you wire that together? That was the train of thought. Now we've got Portal to sell WebSphere. So how do we sell Portal? Well, we'll make this thing where all these pieces talk to each other. And we'll wire them together, and they'll do cool things, and they'll have security, and they'll be apps. And we'll make this concept of an application out of all these pieces, and it'll be your workplace. And that was really, from the outside anyway, what it looks like the derivation of workplace is. I know that I'm going to get a lot of hate mail from IBM for this, but I'm used to that. And it was good, and some really powerful, powerful things came out of that workplace effort. One of them was the workplace rich client is fabulous as a place to work. And another one is, you know, that we've all seen is this Activity Explorer concept is just huge. Those wouldn't have happened without the workplace effort. Now what happens is, you know, now we get to where we were about two and a half, maybe 3 years ago, whenever it was, and they come out and say, all right, well, how do we get Notes to run in this world? Well, nobody on the workplace team expected what happened next. Those of us who knew Notes from version 2 knew about this idea of a separation layer, that it was meant to run in different environments. So, you know, you get Maureen Leland's team in there involved, and they looked at that and go, oh, yeah, we can get to this. And they got that done so effectively and so well that they had, you know, this ability to run native Notes stuff in there so fast that it became clear from the outside that they were very quickly driving the definition and the spec for what Workplace had to do, what this rich client had to do. You know, you could see where they might be going into meetings and having a discussion. Well, how should we wire this? And on one side, you've got this theoretical group of people talking about the apps they might at some point be building. And then on the other side of the table, you've got people who say, yeah, well, our 130 million users need it this way. And you can imagine kind of how that would go. And by the way, our code works already. So the evolution of that has been fascinating. And now it's clear that the Notes and Domino backend, the Domino backend is very, very powerful. It can support most of what this thing needs to do. If you add Portal, you get added value, but you probably won't end up needing it. I think that's part of what they've been saying. The Activity Explorer, my hope for that is that it won't need a gigantic server to run on, that it can be a separate entity. My personal wish list would be nactivityexplorer.exe or .d, you know. I don't know that we'll get that, but you know, the idea of a task to load in a Domino server. I don't think we'll get there quite yet, but that separation, that collapse the stack. And then what they got out of Workplace Rich Client was essentially it takes the handcuffs off the Notes developer. It's a fabulous thing.
So Andrew, how do they get the Notes code to run on non-Windows platforms from the client side?
Well, The one of the reasons that Notes has always looked a little funny in Windows compared to some of the other apps is that it's not a native Windows app necessarily. 99% of that code is cross-platform.
Mm-hmm.
I think I once heard the word 1DLL. I don't know that personally. But there's this idea of a separation layer. Everything below that separation layer, anything that doesn't actually touch the UI, is generic. It's not operating system specific.
Right.
Then there's this layer on top of that that provides the hooks to the interface. In other words, what does a dialog box have to do on this platform? We're going to put all that in one place. If you swap out that piece of code, it'll run on any platform that can compile that C. Mm. So, you know, you have this ability to port. I mean, Notes always ran on multiple platforms. That's why it runs on the Mac. That's why they were able to make a Linux client so quickly. Right, they used to have a Unix client.
Right, they did.
They had an OS 2 client. They had the Solaris client. I ran the Solaris for Intel client at one point. in version 3. So, you know, when they were handed this Eclipse platform, they just needed a JNI hook to get into the Java.
Right.
And then treat that environment like it's a different operating system and just build your user interface again. It's not compatible with Notes Code. It is Notes Code.
They didn't have
to rewrite it.
Right. Well, and then there's the whole concept of how there's, I guess, with Hanover, there's going to be kind of an Eclipse client as well as sort of the old Notes.exe client, too.
Well, it runs within. It's the same. There's no real difference. It's the same code.
Right, and that's what I mean.
In fact, even if you are a workplace client customer right now, okay, with version 7 of Domino, you can actually open your Notes environment within your Eclipse environment. That's public knowledge.
Right, and we've actually blogged about that on the OpenNTF blog. Anil Vartak had shown some demonstrations of that. So, yeah, that is public knowledge. So,
right, and that's why at this point they can have both. Because they are the same.
Because it's really only one. It's just how you start it.
Right.
It's literally what shell is it running under.
Good point.
Right.
So
go ahead, Bruce.
No, you go ahead, because I was going to dig into the next question a little bit.
Oh, were you now? Well, why don't I do that?
You take number 4.
Is that what we're on? Sorry, man. There was a segue there, and I may have already lost it, in terms of having this, kind of the same old Notes code, but now suddenly we have this new, fun Hanover Eclipse workplace shell that we can also interact with as a developer and as a consultant, too. What do you think the opportunities are going to be there in terms of these new integration points that we're going to have?
Actually, well, answer that for Hanover and the rich client separately, if you could.
Well, I think that the two are inseparable. As far as I'm concerned, the Hanover and the rich client are the same product until somebody can prove to me that Portal has enough market pull to make it, you know, relevant enough to push the client even to 3/4 of its value.
Right,
the rich client to me, the biggest value in the rich client is its delivery of Hanover of Notes in a new shell. It'll be cool if they can, through this mechanism, add enough value with Portal that everybody finds enough value to want to run it. But even if Portal failed ultimately, the workplace rich client has its value completely outside of that, entirely valuable without it. So from my perspective, they're inseparable. What you got is you've got a handicap right now if you're a developer, particularly if you're an ISV, but if you're a high-end developer and you want to make something that's really cool, there's you have a couple of hard limits. And, you know, I've got a couple of products, and I run into this all the time. You can produce something that's got a really slick UI, for example, but it's going to have to sit outside the Notes client. And it'll never really feel like it's part of the Notes experience. Or you can produce something that's entirely Notes-based, but it's very, very hard to make it not look like the same schlock the IT department's been cranking out for the last 5 years. So how do you justify charging 20 or 30 grand for that? So, you know, now you've got the handcuff taken off, this idea of being able to the wires that allow these pieces of the apps to communicate, the idea that you could allocate a portion of the screen to have some sort of really high-end floating graphical representation of whatever you're working with, and having that interacting live with your Notes app, all part of the same visible application, really takes the handcuffs off the high end in a big way.
So how would you define the opportunities for developers and business partners for like Hanover?
Well, for business partners, it's always going to be huge when there's new technology. I would say the best metaphor, the best simile really would be LotusScript. When LotusScript was introduced into version 4, you know, it was funny because in the consulting business, things had gotten kind of slow. Our customers had caught up with us essentially with version 3. They figured out DBLOOKUP and DBColumn, and that was pretty much the end of the tricks. And they were caught up with us, so it was hard to make any real money building fancy apps for people. LotusScript came along, and you know, those of us out in the consulting world who take programming as a craft seriously, we're able to get up to speed on it. We're able to produce things now that were ahead of our customers, that looked and acted more advanced. And I think that metaphor comes to play again. You know, we really, if you look at the consulting world, the IT departments have caught on to Lotus Script by now, right? I mean, pretty much people can make notes do what they want. This gives the ISVs a place to go that it's going to take the market a long time to catch up with, and some of them probably won't, because there's a high-end developer capability that there never has been before. There's still that medium end, there's still the low end, but now there's also a high-end capability that we can tap into to make really slick apps that we can actually justify selling for some serious money.
Yeah, and that was leading into our last question here, which was, there's been a lot of debate, on the weblogs, whether or not it's really important for Lotus Notes developers to learn Java and Eclipse, to get ready for Hanover. And we'd really like to know, your take on that. I mean, you just mentioned that, you can do a lot with your note skills, your Lotus Script skills, but for those really high-end apps that people are going to want to develop, do you really need to learn, Java and other related technologies?
Well, there's levels at which you have to be kind of careful with that. Nobody resisted Java longer than I did. If you guys follow the business partner forum, you remember probably years of me railing about this language not being worth it and ready yet. I waited a long time until I felt that the application was ready, and I think that Java is proof that if you put enough time and energy into virtually anything, you can build value into it.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally written basically to spite Microsoft. It's not really a business model. The fact is that it's grown into quite a powerful language and a powerful tool. And if you want to do powerful things, you need powerful tools. I would say that right now you have 99% of the development in notes is, if you know Lotus Script, you're doing everything that everybody's doing. The 1% beyond that is you're talking about API developers. You see a lot more of that on the Unix side, of course, than you do on the Windows side. But those API calls really are that next step. I think that the Java capability, the ability to do more things in Java opens a window in the middle of those two. It's, things that you would have had to go to the API to do. Now you don't have to go to the API because you can do things with the Java world. You can do your multi-threaded tools. You can do your dialogue boxes and your custom user interface stuff. You can take advantage of the tools that are out there, the classes that people have created for everything from encryption to web interfacing to DNS lookups or whatever you want to build. There's probably already a library for it. So, it opens that level up that's not, you don't have to be in there with the API and dealing with the clunky nature of that and callbacks and pointers and things like that. But you can still get a lot of really high-end stuff done. Now, everything you can do now, you will still be able to do, and a lot more in the Hanover world. So I don't want anybody to think they have to learn Java. There was a period of time where they were telling us that. I would also say that there's tremendous value in learning Java. And so that's the cautious way I would answer that. The other thing is, as far as learning Eclipse is a fabulous development environment. I was really surprised when I picked it up. It competes not only successfully, in some way it surpasses Visual Studio in terms of being a development environment. And as such, there's value to being able to use that tool. Take a look at what, I don't want to talk out of turn. Take a look at some of the stuff Maureen is blogging about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some huge power here. And it would be neat to be able to take advantage of. In some ways, the Java development process done through Eclipse matches my way of programming better than the Visual Studio way of doing it does.
Mm-hmm. All right, Andrew, we're going to wrap things up here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw the old crystal ball question at you. 1 year from now, what will we be looking at? What do you think? What do you think is going to happen over the next year? With Notes, well, Domino, Hanover, Eclipse.
You've got a very exciting Lotusphere coming up. Anybody that misses Lotusphere this year, if they've ever considered going, this would be the year to go. You've got, I think, the last announced dates I saw were looking at Q2 of 2007, I thought, for a target for getting, you know, the next versions out, Hanover and whatever. And if that happens, you know, Q2 is right about now.
Right.
You know, April, May, June, you know, even if you assume that slips, right about now, we're all going to be gearing up to have the hottest stuff out there. We'll probably be in live betas, my guess. I can say this because I don't know it. If I actually knew it, then I couldn't say it. Yeah, that's funny that way.
I think I read somewhere that someone said that by the end of the year there was going to be a beta.
It wouldn't surprise me. So, you know, I mean, if you just count backwards from the release date.
So get your calendar out and let's schedule a podcast for this time next year.
Sure.
And we'll see how you're measured up.
There you go. I think there's more important stuff coming down. There really is. I think that...
Oh, you're teasing us now at the end here?
No, I'm not teasing you. I'm saying that if you're going to be doing development next year, you better know more than just Domino. Because next year is all about integration.
Ah, good point.
We're on the cusp of a huge VoIP revolution. That's the hot technology next year. It's going to tie into Domino beautifully. You know, the whole web services capability in Domino as it grows and people get used to using it is huge. The ability for these things to interact, it's all going to be about interaction.
All right, Julian, any closing questions for Mr. Pollack?
Well, and also to you know, put on top of that, I also saw that they're going to have a great new address book interface.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's all going to be part of the revolution.
I can't tell you anything that I've seen in it, but I can tell you this. You know, we can make fun and we can say, woo, but, you know, I heard you guys talking about this concept that they're using in development of these sort of cutout people.
Oh, personas.
Where they actually define the personas. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you use that when you code? Don't you have somebody in mind when you're coding something?
Andrew, I have a cardboard cutout of you right in front of me right now. I'm using one.
Yeah, but
right
you
now.
Don't use that for coding. That's more for throwing darts.
No, needles.
I'm thinking,
needles.
Needles. You know, when
right.
I code, I've always got a user in my head.
Of course.
Well, they've formalized that, and they actually are taking a huge amount of input from a great deal of people of people, many of whom you know, many of whom you don't know, but a very wide range of input, and it's a very open and frank discussion on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that all these things are getting a lot of attention. The
Hanover,
user interface
Hanover
is
about the end user, remember? I mean, that's... And I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey. Okay, no more jokes from me. I'm all done talking.
All right. Andrew, on behalf of the Taking Notes podcast, thank you for participating in episode 20. Can you believe it? 20 episodes, Julian?
20.
This is the first one...
Old.
And today is the first day that Andrew actually listened to our podcast, so.
Yeah, it tells you how well I keep
up. It's like, oh, crap, I'm going to be on the Taking Notes podcast. I better listen to one or two. And Andrew, you did have a question. I mean, you did post something on your weblog today about, you know, who you thought, you know, was driving all this innovation in Lotus. And, you know, I'm under NDA about this, but I can tell you that it's been Julian and I.
Yeah, it's us. Really.
Excellent.
So
keep doing it.
So, Andrew, if people want to read your weblog, because believe it or not, we did get a lot of feedback on the last podcast that there are actually a lot of people who don't read weblogs who listen to the Taking Notes podcast. So, Andrew, how do people take a look at your site?
Well, I'm at www.thenorth.com/APblog.
Great. And we will have a link to that in the show notes.
All right. Peace out, everybody.
Good. See ya.
Bye-bye.